My brothers and sisters in the Lord, it is hard to believe that we are less than 2 weeks till Christmas. And as we contemplate that thought, we think of the laundry list of things that still need to be done. Decorations that still need to be hung, Christmas cards that still need to be sent, cooking and baking that needs to be done, and all the laundry list of activities that we need to accomplish to prepare before Christmas morn. And as we think of all of those externals, my brothers and sisters, during this season of Advent, we are preparing for the coming of Christ. And so we ask ourselves, are we prepared for the true meaning of Christmas? Are we prepared in our own hearts to receive the newborn King? In the gospel today, the church once again gives us the figure of St. John the Baptist, the last of the great prophets, whose mission and ministry was to prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. And he understood the context of that ministry and of that mission, as we hear in the gospel when he says to the crowds, "One greater than I is coming into the world, and I am not worthy to untie the laces of his sandals." But we do hear the crowds ask St. John the Baptist a very important question right at the beginning of the gospel. What should we do? What should we do to prepare? The crowds ask the question. Tax collectors ask the question. Soldiers ask the question. And hopefully, my friends, so do we. What do we do in these final weeks of the season of Advent? I believe, my brothers and sisters, that in our second reading from St. Paul to the church in Philippi, I believe St. Paul gives us a formula. A formula, my brothers and sisters, that if we follow, we will receive the true joy of Christmas. We will receive the true peace that only comes from God. Because that's what we desire. Christmas peace. A peace, my brothers and sisters, that the world cannot give. A peace that only comes because of our relationship with the Lord Jesus. As St. Paul writes at the end, "Then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding." The world cannot understand it, but it will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. How do we obtain this great gift that comes from God? How do we have a heart that is receptive to that gift? St. Paul goes through a very important formula in just these few verses. And the first part of it, my brothers and sisters, is this. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. My brothers and sisters, as we live our daily lives, do we rejoice in our God? Are we a people of joy? Because in order to receive that great gift of Christmas peace, we must be a people of joy. And we know, my brothers and sisters, that joy doesn't come from any external circumstance. It is joy because of our relationship with our God. Remember, St. Paul is writing this letter at a time when he is imprisoned. He is in chains. And he's waiting for a decision of whether or not he's going to be released or he's going to be put to death. And during this time, what does he say to the church? He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And certainly, my friends, St. Paul had a dynamic spirit. Just think of his life. 3 times he was shipwrecked. 1 time he was stoned. And I don't mean he visited the state of Colorado. He was stoned. 5 times he was scourged. He was beaten many times. He was the focus of riots and death threats. Yet despite all of this, he still writes, "Rejoice in the Lord." Because St. Paul understood, my friends, that our joy doesn't come from what we have or what we want or from where we went to school or from what kind of job we have or who our friends are. It doesn't come from any of those externals. Our joy comes because we trust that no matter where we are in the journey of life, that no matter whether or not we are on the mountaintop or in the valley, our joy comes because we know and we trust and we have faith that God always walks with us, that he never abandons his people. To the Thessalonians, St. Paul is going to write, "This is God's will for you. Rejoice always, no matter what our circumstance may be." Do we have that kind of joy? And in having that kind of joy, my friends, do we want and desire to dance with God? I love that image. There's a little story of some Protestant missionaries who went to Africa to do missionary work. And when they went there, they met a tribal people and they were converting them to Christianity. But because they were converting them to Christianity, they said they could not dance anymore, which was part of their culture. And so the members of the tribe that converted to Christianity were known by the others as the people who no longer dance. My brothers and sisters, God wants us to dance. He wants our spirit to be joyful. I was thinking yesterday of the little song that's taken from the musical My Fair Lady. And I know this was written for secular purposes, but I think we can use it in our relationship with God. I won't sing it for you, don't worry. I could have danced all night. I could have danced all night and still have begged for more. I could have spread my wings and done 1,000 things I've never done before. I'll never know what made it so exciting, why all at once my heart took flight. I only know when he began to dance with me, I could have danced, danced, danced all night. Think about that word, a relationship with God. God desires to dance with us, to rejoice with us. What type of spirit do we have this day? That's the first criteria for Christmas peace, is to be a people of rejoicing. The second, my friends, continues on with St. Paul. He says, your kindness should be known to all. To be a people of kindness, to be a people of gentleness. Are we a people who are kind to others? When you go to Lakeside, especially this time of the year, and you have all these people, are you kind to them when someone cuts you off and takes your parking spot? And I know you might bless them, but do you bless them in the way of the Lord? Are we a kind people? And does that kindness extend to those around us? I love this little story. Two women were standing out of Macy's in New York City. And one woman was from New York, a very wealthy woman, sort of a very snobby kind of attitude. And the other woman was a very well-educated woman, a very gentle soul, but she was from New Orleans. She was a Southern lady. And so these two women are having a conversation while they're waiting for the doors to open at Macy's. And the wealthier woman from New York began to tell the other woman, "Do you know what my husband gave me for my first Christmas? He bought me a big mansion." And the Southern woman said, "Oh, bless your heart." And then she said, "You know what he gave me on my second Christmas? He gave me a Mercedes-Benz." And the other woman responded, "Oh, bless your heart." And she said, "You know what happened on the third Christmas? He gave me this big diamond rock that I have on my finger." And the lady said again, "Oh, bless your heart, darling." And so the woman from New York asked the lady from New Orleans, "What did your husband give you on your first Christmas?" And she said, well, he sent me to charm school. And she said, charm school? Why did he send you to charm school? And she just looked at her and said, so that I can say bless your heart instead of I don't give a darn. My brothers and sisters, we laugh, but how many times do we think that? Or how many times do we say it? Or we are people of kindness and a people of gentleness. Think of the gentleness of God. The Word becomes flesh and a helpless child and a baby lying in the manger. Is our heart ready to receive the King? And finally, my friends, the last part of the formula that St. Paul gives us is this. Have no anxiety at all, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. My friends, are we a people of thanksgiving? Because whatever we're anxious about this day, whatever we're worried about this day, whatever is weighing heavy on our hearts this day, when we have that attitude of gratitude, when we're a people of thanksgiving, the shadows begin to melt away. Because when we're a people of thanksgiving, we think of the joy of the Lord. We think of what God has done for us in the past, and we trust that He's going to carry us through to the future. There was a Christian missionary by the name of Henry Frost, and he was a missionary in China. And when you read his journal, this is one of the entries that he wrote, and I quote, I had received sad news from home, and deep shadows had covered my soul. I prayed, but the darkness did not vanish. I summoned myself to endure, but the darkness only deepened. Then I went into our inland mission station, our little house, and saw on the wall of the mission home these words, try thanksgiving. I did, and in a moment every shadow was gone, not to return. You see, my friends, when we're grateful for the gifts and graces and blessings that God has bestowed upon us, the only response that we can give is a response of joy. Do we desire Christmas peace, even in the hustle and bustle around us? And if we do, let us rejoice. Let us be a people of gratitude. And let our kindness go forth to the world. Because every day, my friends, should be a day of thanksgiving.